let's have a car wash to get the word out, and make some flyers and hand out the flyers.
A fucking podcast car wash. I bet you we'd be the only podcasters ever who's done like a sexy car wash.
So how much is it? It's free. We just want you to listen to our podcast.
It's free, but you have to listen to an episode of the podcast while we do it.
But I literally have to watch.
They drive off.
I don't even want my car washed. I would rather have a dirty car than fucking do
that.
We'll
put the car. We'll put the episode on while we work on your car.
Why don't we record the?
Then we take their engine.
We record the episode while we work on the car.
Oh my god! There we go.
Then we take their engine.
I like that. So I like including.
We sell their engine for parts.
You know, the best marketing is crime. I think somebody said that.
Mm-hmm. Just ask him. Maybe. Like, just be like, "Do you understand violence?"
Do you know
What's the best way to market? It's extreme violence.
Do you know how to hurt a man? Because I do.
So I do.
Do you understand violence?
Can you?
Do you want to know how I got this knife?
You want to know where I got this soda?
You want to know where I got my shoes?
Welcome back to Sci-Fi Cross Sections, a weekly podcast dedicated to everything science fiction. It's me, your sci-fi boy, Colin Brandon, and with me tonight is...
Mark Butker.
I am Ben Young.
I'm Bill Jarvis.
Andrew's back. For real this time.
And tonight we are talking about the 2005, not blockbuster hit, Stealth.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say not blockbuster is an understatement.
This was 2005?
I believe so, yeah. Wow. July of 2005. Okay, Stealth was directed by Rob Cohen. It was written by W.D. Richter. I don't know, man. Make up your mind, bud. Starring Josh Lucas, Jessica Biel, Jamie Foxx, Sam Shepard, Joe Martin, and Richard Roxburgh.
And Wentworth Miller. He's the voice of Eddie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this was peak Wentworth Miller, wasn't it? this time period, he was everything.
He was doing work.
And then he disappeared off the face of the planet.
He got self-conscious.
Well.
And then he came back as a villain in the flesh.
Oh, good for him.
Actually, if you notice in the movie, he actually like really character acted into a plane. Use method. Very method.
Oh, boy. Okay. So the budget for this film was $135 million. The box office was $79.3 million.
Ow.
Ooh. Ouch. Yeah. Sony.
Ooh, can I get a foghorn sound effect, me?
Honestly, it's Sony Pictures, so they're probably just used to it at this point. Just kidding. Spider-Man did well. Okay. Ben, good luck. Well, actually, I'm sure you'll be fine. What is this movie about?
I did want to just say that Art House never makes its money back. All right, moving on.
It's Art House.
More like Farmhouse.
Three stealth fighter pilots are assigned to an aircraft carrier to teach and train an experimental, artificially intelligent UAV named Eddie. But after some unorthodox lessons from the crew's loose cannon, Lieutenant Ben Gannon, and a lightning strike on landing, Eddie develops a personality of its own and goes rogue during a top secret mission. It's stealth.
So what lame like mid-2000s butt rock song am I using for the synopsis thing? Am I using something by Godsmack?
The opening song of Stealth.
Godsmack.
No, just use Incubus.
You have a lot of
every other song in this fucking movie was Incubus. Just use Incubus.
Don't use any of that because we're not allowed to. But use.
I said Godsmack already. Three Doors Down, wow. 3 Days Grace.
So is this going to be one of those podcasts where none of you appreciate a good fucking movie when you see it? Because, like, this movie had everything.
Jesus, man.
It had jets.
It had a talking robot, man.
It had artificially intelligent UAVs. It had Jessica Biel. It had Russians. It had North Koreans. It had nuclear weapons. It had a blimp with fuel in it. It had a ring of fire. Like, how can you not like this fucking movie? Like it was so... This is fantastic. Roger Ebert... I hope you're fucking being eaten by worms in your grave for what you said about this movie, because it is good.
All right. Well, until next time.
I have nothing else to say.
Oh, man. Okay.
To be honest, this movie actually, like, I was going into it thinking it was going to be bad. And I mean, it wasn't great, but it was a passable mid-2000s action film with a really otherwise terrible soundtrack.
The soundtrack was... Sorry, go ahead, Count.
I'll get into it, I guess, in a little bit here. The soundtrack was fucking awful.
Awesome. You mispronounced so awesome.
He's a fucking, like, sentient AI robot, not Mark Botker.
What?
Mark's favorite music is all of that.
I think he's talking about the songs that Eddie would
blast
on his missions.
Yeah, the score itself was good.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
When
she was behind Jessica Biel was behind enemy lines at Korea, like there was a really haunting sort of like sound, like soundtrack, like or like a score there.
When she was in the process of parachuting but trying to escape the mm-hmm. burning wreckage above her, there was like no score there. It was just her. I don't know. I mean, I just did not feel the suspense. The score was needed there.
It was scary, man. Like, everyone's sitting there watching and just listening as she's like, because that's like how they're supposed to do it. They're supposed to tell them exactly what's going on so that the people at control know that she hasn't passed out in the process, because they have to like know she's okay throughout the whole thing. So she has to keep narrating what's going on. I thought that was a haunting scene. I thought it was really like on the edge of my seat. I was like, oh shit.
It was a bit harrowing. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, am I going to say I enjoyed the movie? Sure. But at no point did I say this was good.
I enjoyed it like a Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
I enjoyed it like a fast food burger.
First off, the technobabble was fucking ridiculously dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they didn't even try, man.
Polyfiber, space wing...
Quantum brain.
What did they say?
Brain.
Quantum blood.
His quantum veins or something like that. Was like, what?
He's got.
There ain't no human blood in them quantum veins.
That was
He's
it.
He's got
yeah.
more neural networks.
Oh, and as long as we're talking about groanable moments, and it's funny, is every time he like would say something, Matt was next to me at his desk watching. And it was just an audible groan every time Jamie Foxx would say something, because the toxic masculinity in this movie is just like ungodly at times. I know it's 2005, but fuck.
This is like the Dane Cook era of like action sci-fi.
You mean really good?
Oh, no.
Is the movie dated? Yes. Is the techno babble bad? Yes. Are the jets cool? Fuck yes.
So cool.
That's all them, you know, like, and furthermore, this movie does a better job getting its point across about technology and war than Outside the Wire could ever hope to do. And I know for a fact that Outside the Wire thinks it's smarter than Stealth is.
That just could be because Anthony Mackie's not a good actor.
Okay, so... They actually, if you want to get into that, yes, this movie's a lot smarter. They're raising those same questions of, is it better to have an unmanned, you know, robot doing the work than an actual person? Which is what Outside the Wire was trying to get across, but I don't know. I feel like... Fuck, I don't even know where I was going with that. Yes, they do a good job of raising those questions on, you know, a human can break orders when need to. I guess the robot fucking does too, so what does it matter?
Well, he learns it. He learns it from watching him.
I learned it from you, Dad.
Yeah, parenting. It all comes back to parenting.
I think what was awesome about this movie, though, is that by the end of it, like, at the end of Outside the Wire, they're like, technology, just bad. Bad for creating it. Bad, bad, bad. And it's like, okay, cool, thanks. This one, by the end of it, is about synergy, right? This is about utilizing the tools and accepting that the future is now, and rather than fighting it or embracing it, finding a middle ground where Ben Gannon gets into the cockpit of the artificially intelligent jet. And now human and robot are one. And together they go to save Jessica Biel, which is something they neither could have done by themselves because Ben needed to get there. And the plane is, in fact, a plane.
Plane's got no skin in the game.
At all, technically.
He could have landed. What would he have done once he landed? Shot the sniper? He maybe, but he would have shot Jessica Biel too, because it is a plane.
I feel like I'm in the writer's room for this movie right now. This is amazing.
I think there's a really deep message of synergy and teamwork by the end of the film.
Honestly, okay, so Ben, I agree with you. I believe that there was a conversation that Ben Gannon and Captain George Cummings had at one point about, you know, separating yourself from the violence and not thinking about the consequences of your actions because they don't affect you as much, which is really what the sort of point was. But at the same time, it was also a point made that this is a tool, and a tool is only as evil or good as the user. So if the person using it, such as Captain George Cummings, is sort of self-centered, I'm going to say sort of evil, the way he did things was evil, then the way Ben did things was good. And so you have that dichotomy between the two's actions. And so as Ben taught the plane on accident to defy orders and do what needs to be done, and then it took it in a, you know, sort of played on that, and then the captain was just trying to cover his own ass, which, when during his sort of, you know, death scene, the only thing I could think of was Danny DeVito at that bridge saying, "Suicide is badass."
Well, this is the difference between being a politician and being a warrior. I keep guns in my toiletries.
And that's it. I just shot the floor. That floor was looking at me weird. So I think, like, the tool is the technology, and to be afraid of the technology as just itself is foolish because it's not being used. It's the way in which you use it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it, Bill. That's exactly it. So the real question we need to be asking is, why wasn't this movie nominated for any Academy Awards?
I don't know.
I heard it was because they didn't give Jessica Biel a belt at any point in this movie. For some reason, her clothes did not require belts.
Low rides were a thing.
In the military?
Yeah. In the sexy military? Know. The Air Force is its
low
own
rides,
thing.
Gotta keep morale high.
The Air Force is its own amazing thing by itself. It's not military. It's planes.
Well,
it's cool.
Funny you say that, because they're not actually part of the Air Force. They are naval aviators. They're part of the Navy.
Oh.
Naviators.
Okay, then I don't get it. Did Where's the belt?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's naval aviators wear belts. I've seen it.
Where the fuck are the belts, Jessica Biel?
As we all know, the Navy boys and girls, they're not a fan of keeping their pants up by their hips, if you know what I mean.
They wear jumpsuits.
I was going to say they like to go swimming, but yeah, that too.
Yeah, also, why was she not wearing a flight suit? I feel like flight suits are standard since like the 1940s.
She's wearing a flight suit.
Ben Gannon definitely didn't wear a flight suit after
he got
into
She was not wearing
Eddie.
A flight suit at the end of that movie. She was wearing
a lot
pants.
Of safety concerns.
There were maybe she was wearing clothes underneath her flight suit.
There were a lot of safety considerations that went through my mind when Ben hopped into Eddie, and I'm like, there's no five-point harness. There's no five-point harness. You're just bouncing around that cockpit, okay? To do one half G burn and you're fucking toast. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the G's just keep him in a seat, right?
That's what the G's are for, if you think about it.
If he's only keeping doing a seat. That, if he's only doing one G on everything he does, yes, technically. I guess it makes no difference. But I can't guarantee that. But he is a robot, so he could probably figure it out.
He could recognize, he's like, oh shit, my boy Ben in here doesn't have a five-point harness. I'm going to need to do one G on everything.
This
he's
weak
a computer,
human,
so he can.
This weak human with delicious brain tissue is going to bounce around and become damaged.
That's probably my only complaint, is when Ben got into the cockpit, Eddie at no point said, yummy human.
Yeah. I really wanted the cockpit to go, nom, 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 nom.
You taste better than I imagined. What? What?
What?
Huh?
What?
What?
That's weird. Don't make it weird.
Yeah, they cut that line out when he asked, but wait, it's an unmanned craft? There's a cockpit. And they're like, well, we used to man it. We don't anymore.
So, I feel like so it really went off the rails with Captain George Cummings. Can we just talk about that character
that
for
dude,
a second?
That dude was nuts.
It just went off the fucking rails. It was like, oh, this is a cool guy. This is a cool guy. And it was like, and then he's just like, I need to pass this fucking plane. Like, and it just gets out of control.
Oh,
it's
fuck.
Just insane.
As long as we're talking about the bad guys, the like secret politician guy, every time they fucking show him, the camera's just like really awkwardly zooming in on this window and like shaking slightly. And it's just like, why the fuck are you filming it like this?
I was like, but what in my mind when I first saw that was like, okay, somebody's secretly photographing or videoing him.
Nope.
No, that's not what happened.
Nope. And oh god, that was just awful.
It's to let you know that you're in on the secret now. You're there, man. As you.
They actually couldn't afford anything else. They just bought some political intrigue stock footage and just sort of threw in the film there.
So as long as I'm continuing to air my grievances, what the hell was going on with all the RGB going on inside that aircraft carrier where they like maintain where everyone's, you know, the headquarters on the aircraft carrier for this squadron or whatever?
War room?
The lights make them work faster.
Yeah, all the computers that they're working on, it's just like RGB up the ass. It's like, oh, what
the fuck? Just got to have those LEDs everywhere.
My boss said something funny to me this morning about that. He's like, yeah, this movie was supposed to be like, you know, what technology was going to look like in the near future. Now it just looks like everybody's desktop computer.
Yeah.
It's true. That's true. That's very true. Oh, and I think it's funny how like consciousness becoming apparent in code is actually like just equations, formulas just thrown around, just some random differential formulas just thrown in there. Did you notice that? Like, it's just very interesting. Nothing about that was actually like code, but
no.
It was in code. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We were talking
like,
about that.
It's like one of those, it's like taking techno babble and slapping it on a movie, except to like 10 times worse and making it like so that every single person that knows anything about programming or what code looks like, just like,
I bet you if we pause it and probably like go through it frame by frame, we're going to see like E equals MC square written somewhere in that. I swear to God.
Like that gif of the lady thinking about stuff.
Was it just Lorem Ipsum? Just constant Lorem Ipsum?
Lorem Ipsum. Yeah, everywhere. Just Lorem Ipsum and just some equal signs thrown in there.
Also, there were so many fucking moments where I just kept saying, no means no, dude. Either to Jamie Foxx or to that damn plane. I don't know, but this movie was just like, I was triggered the whole fucking time.
The doctor especially. You're right, Mark. That was fucked up.
Well, the doctor was trying to kill him.
I know.
The doctor just gave you a little something for the pain.
Dude, even when the plane was trying to get fuel, access denied. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Access denied. They just like fucking shoots off the end of it and just like jams.
Oh, no.
And then so we get to, I was like, "Oh my God."
This is toxic masculinity.
Imagery, like what the fuck, man? 2005 was a dark fucking year, man.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So this is all toxic masculinity because you think of the men in this movie, let me just bring up my point. My point is the genius point. This is all toxic masculinity. Thank you, Colin. I was going to say, what I was going to say is that like there's those issues, and then also the fact that by the way, who makes out in a bar like that? Who just like turns their head and they're like, we're making out now? Like, what is going on there?
You've clearly never been Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, but all of these people are clearly in their early 30s.
Shit, we're in prime time. This is prime time for us.
I have to go pee-pee.
We have to go to the bar.
What the fuck was that, by the way?
I don't know. Sorry.
She I do know what that was, because I thought long and hard about that scene for a very long time. She was saying a phrase that would be universally understood in any language, because she was trying to get the girl away from the table.
No, we're talking
said,
in the beginning.
I have to go.
In the beginning.
Oh, I
with
missed
the blonde,
it at
the blondes that
oh, then she was just making fun of that.
Yes, she was making fun
of
that.
Got it.
Yeah.
I missed that part, sorry.
Yeah. Dude, were there no bras in 2005 as well?
No bras, no belts, no service.
Don't you remember the bra famine of 2005?
Bra famine.
And so what a cool, really cool aspect of this film that I actually really, really enjoyed was the way they shot the plane sequences, right?
Yes.
Was that badass or what? Like,
awesome.
I feel like that's just sort of, you know, I feel like there was this, like, I feel like they did what Fast and the Furious did with those sorts of zoom in sort of animations that they did like within the engine. And they did do it with it literally within the engine, but taking it from like taking a, like a seamless shot from like aerial view to cockpit view, even though it looked, you know, you could tell that they fucked with it a little bit to make it work. And you could tell that, but I thought it was such a cool concept. I thought it really was just like, it just felt badass the way
did
it.
I have Sam news Shepard. For you. Rob Cohen, the director of this movie, also directed the 2001 smash hit franchise starting engine revving The Fast and the Furious.
Gone in 60 seconds. Yeah, shit. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yes, he directed that and XXX.
I don't know how I couldn't tell.
Wow.
All the same genius.
The lost Coen brother.
Just thinking about XXX the other day.
Oh,
wait, Pizza Boy? That was Pizza Boy in the first Fast and Furious, right?
Who?
Never mind. Nobody's seen that movie, I guess.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody's actually.
Do I look like I watch movies?
So, speaking of engine revving, when, what's his name? Ben. Ben Gannon has to like do his quick little crash land onto the carrier not crash land, but, you know, it's definitely a harrowing experience. As soon as his hook hits the wire and it comes to a stop, there is literally a car engine rev when it comes to a stop. And I was like,
I noticed that too.
What? I'm sorry. It must have been a throwback to his Fast and Furious days.
There's a V8 in that thing?
Oh, bud. You bet. Supercharged. They got NOS.
Is that a Supra?
Supra?
Is that a Supra? Yeah.
I did also want to talk about how I'm happy that at the end of it all, like they throw, I don't remember her name. I just keep calling her Jessica Biel.
That's fine. We all know who Jessica Biel is. Just
Kara Wade. Well, we try to do the character names. We try. They toss Kara Wade behind enemy lines in North Korea, of all places. A shocking and revelatory twist that I did not see coming.
Yeah.
And was truly a wonderful use of the current political climate. But they had every chance to make her captured by North Korean militants and make that whole situation. And while she, yes, needed assistance by the end of it, and I bring it up because we're talking about toxic masculinity in the movie, she needed assistance, she needed aid, she did not need to rescuing, per se. She wasn't captured. She was always fighting back. She was always finding a way to get one up on the rest of them. And yes, it was getting progressively worse and worse, so of course she would need aid. But I appreciate that in a movie filled with as much toxic masculinity as it did, which I agree it does have, that they didn't damsel in distress the lieutenant, you know, pilot of a stealth fighter, you know? Like, she is obviously a capable and good fighter, and I'm glad that they showcased that.
But she definitely knows how to hip fire from 300 yards away.
Well, that's what I said, capable and good.
Okay.
She's Rambo,
like,
man.
She's like, ah, and then just takes out 10 people 200 yards away, 300 yards.
They don't teach that in the Army.
They don't wait,
but they definitely teach it in the Navy.
They don't teach that in the Air Force. Bill, what the fuck? No.
Yeah, no, this was great. This was wonderful.
Better than the Nice Guy.
I was trying to look for some fun reviews. Ah, a dumbed-down Top Gun crossed with HAL 9000 plot.
that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
The thing is, Top Gun wasn't toxic masculinity. It was complete homoeroticism. So it's the complete opposite.
We call that healthy masculinity.
Yeah, it's true. Hey.
Fair enough. Thank you. All right.
I like this. Notation on the rating, the mature rating for the movie. Moderate violence. Infrequent coarse language.
Infrequent.
Yeah. Infrequent coarse language.
I'm a heckin' pilot, god darn it.
What was the thing about, like,
you don't fucking talk to me like that, I'm a fucking pilot. No. Hostile invader.
Oh my god.
I like in the one scene where they're doing the different cabins, like their study routines and the music they were listening to, and he's got headphones on in his cabin, and then they cut to an outside view and his music is like jamming out through the walls. You're like, wait, didn't he have headphones on in there?
Ruined the entire movie for me.
Just unwatchable.
You clearly have never been on a college campus, Mark.
You didn't know he wasn't plugged in.
Here's some interesting behind the scenes tidbits that I didn't know about. This was actually shot on aircraft carriers. They actually shot aboard the Abraham Lincoln. And they also shot some scenes aboard the Nimitz and the Carl Vinson as well. Because they were just similar areas that would have, I assume, time constraints. They couldn't get everything on one aircraft carrier, so
That just goes to show you that if you have enough money, the U.S. Army or Navy or Air Force will let you fuck around with their shit.
Bro, I swear to God, it's free recruiting advertisements for them. Of course they're going to fucking let that one slide.
Yeah. And not to mention, I'm sure they paid money to be on there regardless.
Well, like I said,
it's like,
no, it's free
not
recruiting.
Enough money. I'm sure there's just, I'm sure you as long as there's like, they're like, yeah, you get a week of leave time, you know, like it will send everyone on leave and you get a week to shoot on here. And if you want to
for anymore, that aircraft carrier is absolutely still operational and in use. They just keep people out of the shots. No, I've talked to people who
That's free extras.
Yeah, no, really. I knew one of my teachers when I was in middle school actually worked on the submarine that they filmed part of Hunt for Red October on. And
oh, nice.
He's like, yeah, we were just doing our job and, you know, they're going to shoot in this direction. We move out of the way.
That's cool.
Yeah. Is Hunt for Red October sci-fi?
Oh, wait. This is on RogerEbert.com. Oh, fuck, where is it? It's like, soon all four of them are having lunch, and the three pilots are discussing military secrets in front of that Thai girl who doesn't speak English. Oh, that's so perfect.
That's funny.
Wait, it's... Oh, my God, it's like, it's that the movie is too stupid. How stupid? Nothing happens. The girl can't speak English. Oh, my God.
I did also want to point out to the weebs in the room that Rob Cohen has cited Macross as an inspiration for the film.
Oh, shit.
I did read that. I'm not a weeb, but I did.
Hats off to Macross 8299.
The fact that you said you're not a weeb makes me know that you read that.
You guys are all going to be weebs in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, boy. I got to get my cosplay together. That's what you all do, right?
Yeah.
Cosplay and then go, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Ooh-goo.
They throw up a lot of peace symbols.
That's actually V for victory.
Yeah, the Japanese didn't have
victory. It's not...
Oh. And there's another country, ladies and gentlemen.
70-year burn. Damn.
I'm sorry. I teach a class on World War II, and I don't speak kindly about the Japanese for large
75 years
class.
Out. BTFO.
They're sitting there. They're sitting over there, like, come on, come on.
Goodbye, Abe-san. Goodbye.
I mean, they refer to the raping of Nanking as the Nanking Incident. To this day, what does that tell you about the Japanese? So. Mm. Okay, a lot. Anyways, off that topic.
Yeah, we love your products.
I love you, Japan.
They won the war in the end.
It is true.
With anime.
No, they got hentai.
They sure fucking got us.
They No, it's literally false. They signed a surrender.
It's like, no, they literally said, I quit.
They said, how many PlayStations do we all own? Do we all own PlayStations?
Collectively, probably about 4 or 5, I would assume.
Well, they were playing the long con. They eventually made stealth happen, apparently. So.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I feel like... Can we just...
And for that, we thank them.
Yeah, Animu Mangos.
I don't know if anybody's into World War II. I'm still stuck in this Japanese thing. Anybody want to talk about World War II for 45 minutes?
I can do it, but not here.
Yeah. Save it for Colin's history podcast.
Different venue.
That'll never happen.
Ooh. Yeah, you have to subscribe to this. It's great.
Did you guys know this movie has a stinger?
What?
No.
What?
Like a post-credits scene?
Yep.
What happens?
It pans across the wreckage in North Korea.
No.
It pans across. It like just goes across the wreckage and stuff, and it settles on like the half destroyed Eddie core, like the ball.
No.
And they lights up red.
Oh, the North Koreans
sequel.
Are gonna get him.
Uh-oh.
If we got a sequel 16 years later, I'd be okay with it.
And then Sam Jackson walks out.
Guys, if I did it, would you watch it? If I wrote it, could we do a table read on the podcast?
Yes.
Sure.
I will absolutely do a table read with you for
Can
an
I
episode.
Be Eddie.
Yes, you absolutely can.
I either want to see Sam voice.
Oh, fuck. I got an idea.
I could do this voice. Then Mark Love.
Oh, yeah. Guys, what if Captain... is it Captain Cummings?
Yeah.
What if upon his death, his consciousness, this was already planned, it's transferred to Eddie.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, shit. I love it.
Suicide is badass.
It's not a suicide, though. It's just transferring his conscious to a semi-blown-up robot.
You killed me once. Now I'm going to kill you.
Okay, guys, so... Are we calling it Stealth 2 or Stealthier?
Yes, that Tato, that everything all together right there.
Stealth, yeah.
Stealth 2 or Stealthier.
Stealthier. Got it. All right, we're great.
Mucho más right. Stealthy.
Interior. We're going to go.
Exterior.
Exterior. Mm. Mountains.
Yep.
Day. A quiet morning. Ben Gannon flies his new mech stealth jet fighter across the sky. It transforms into a giant robot.
The new
Eddie.
Hold on. No. It needs to be Edith. It's a female character now.
Yeah, we're love progressive. It. Yeah.
Edith.
Thank you.
Good morning, Lieutenant. Oh, no, sorry. Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, Captain.
Oh, we got promoted. There's been time between these movies.
Ben Gannon. Good morning, baby girl.
But in the Josh Lucas way of saying it, you know?
Yes.
This is wonderful.
Edith.
It's wonderful.
Launches her atmosphere breaking rockets to go to space.
Oh shit.
They go to the moon.
They're going to the moon?
They're going to the damn moon.
Diamond hands.
All right, I'm done. The bit's done.
Diamond hands.
All right. I'm saving this though.
To the moon, diamond hands.
I'm saving this though.
Okay, I think that's it.
Yeah, what else is there to say?
That's a wrap cut.
So
we got to do the good sci-fi bits.
We absolutely are. So I don't really want to know what if you thought it was a good movie or a bad movie. I feel like I know at this point.
Yeah, I feel like we're all clear on that.
So I just want to go around the horn here. I'm gonna start with young Marcus. Mark, is this good sci-fi or is this bad sci-fi?
Incubus.
Thank you.
That's fair. No, that's perfect.
What does it mean?
Okay, Ben.
What does it mean?
You know what? We'll find out next
time. It's fine. I'll leave the mystery be. It's Incubus sci-fi. Good to know. Honestly, it's okay sci-fi. It really is. Like, is the movie over the top and out of control? Absolutely. Do I actually think it deserves an Oscar? No, of course I don't. But it was talked down a lot in my life, so I think I had zero expectations walking into this, which is why I enjoyed it so much. And honestly, like I said, it presents sci-fi themes better than a lot of sci-fi movies that think they're smarter than this movie. And for that, I want to give it an okay sci-fi. That is all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ben. William.
Yeah, I think this had the Hangover effect. Just so you know, when I first saw The Hangover, I had no idea what the movie was. And I fucking lost my shit laughing during watching it. And it had the same effect. I really had no expectations. I thought I was expecting a dog shit movie, and I liked it, and it was cool. And like I said, it was okay sci-fi, some cool things about artificial intelligence, but nothing too deep. So I'd just say it's okay. Yeah, okay sci-fi.
All right. Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, okay is probably a good word to describe this movie.
Incubus would be better, but yeah.
Probably, yeah.
It's already been done, so.
Yeah, I couldn't top that. Godsmack sci-fi.
borderline Godsmack sci-fi.
Three doors down, 3 days grace, a puddle of mud sci-fi.
I feel like we're all in that wheelhouse with, like, if we're to do XXX, like, the Fast and the Furious.
Disturbed it's all sci-fi, stained sci-fi.
God damn
it's
it.
Just strange because Incubus doesn't fit with any of those bands, but they were also in there.
It's period. Yeah, yeah. It's all of the period, man.
I gotta pee. Get this thing on the rails.
All right. Yeah, passable sci-fi.
Okay. For me, it was okay sci-fi. They didn't really ask any new questions. Didn't pose any really thing too crazy, but I think they did a decent job of at least... they didn't even do a decent job of answering them. But that's not their job. So I did... Yeah, it was okay sci-fi. 3 out of 10, will not watch again. all right, folks, there you have it. That is our impressions on the movie Stealth. Next week, we are going to be covering two things, apparently.
No, that was there was a backup in case Chaos Walking got pushed, but it did not get pushed. It's going to be in theaters, so we're doing that one.
In case if you don't know what Chaos Walking is, read the synopsis. I was entertained just reading the synopsis. So.
I saw a clip from it, and I was like, I didn't even watch a trailer for it, but I saw this clip, and I was like, wow, this looks weird. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm expecting it bit off more than it can chew, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
When we see it. So yeah, Chaos Walking. So if you can get yourself to a theater to watch it, that'd be great. Otherwise, you probably won't listen to this episode.
Holy shit, this movie is star-studded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, we gotta cover it.
Tom Holland, Daisy Ridley, and Mads Mikkelsen.
Also, mm-hmm. This is your reminder that on Austin 316 Day, we are going to be covering Cowboy Bebop, so if you have not started that already, get your ass on it.
Woo!
It's not super long.
And 3 weeks until... Oh, no, 4 weeks until...
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer Season 2, so get started on that as well.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what you can expect for the rest of this month. We're also doing Equilibrium 3rd week, so boom! That's exciting.
It is.
I'm excited.
There's 5 fucking weeks in this month. I hate that.
Yeah. Big mom.
I hate that.
You know what they say.
I get a vacation the last week of March.
November.
And it's like, that's still 4 weeks away. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. I get that. That sucks then.
Yeah.
It'll be July before you know it.
Yeah,
hey, okay. Less than 2 weeks till daylight saving.
All right. Thanks, Ben. All right. That's all we got time for. All right. Until next time.